Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
The state of academic freedom in the United States and the Academic Freedom Petition. Hi, I'm Rob Crowther at the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, and today we're going to talk a little bit about an important issue, which most of you listeners are well aware of, is academic freedom and the academic persecution of scientists, educators, even students who happen to question Darwinian evolution and or are proponents of an intelligent design theory. A new development in this is the Academic Freedom Petition, which we'll discuss a little bit more in detail in the podcast. First, I want to welcome Casey Luskin, who is here with me today to talk a little bit about the issue, and because he's one of the most well-versed people, unfortunately, in some of the academic freedom cases that are going on right now. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, I wish I wasn't so well-versed. Quite frankly, Eugenie Scott likes to say that she'd like to be out of a job, which means she wishes that ID would go away. Well, I wish that this part of my job would go away. I wish that I did not have to go out and, you know, talk to teachers and students and faculty who are being persecuted because they supported intelligent design. But it's happened quite a bit, and I'm sure we'll talk about that some more.
It has happened enough that there is a movie coming nationally this spring, which everyone has probably heard about by now, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. It stars Ben Stein, and he looks at this very issue. And in fact, one of the people that his story is told in the film is Guillermo Gonzalez. And I understand that you can give us a update on the case of Guillermo at Iowa State University.
Yes, that's right, Rob. Unfortunately, last Thursday, the Board of Regents of the state of Iowa voted against Dr. Gonzalez's tenure appeal, and basically that was the final level appeal that he was able to do there in Iowa, and so he will now no longer be at Iowa State University as of, I believe, sometime later this spring. So Dr. Gonzalez has officially been denied tenure at Iowa State University, and what's interesting to see here is that throughout the entire process of his appeal to the Board of Regents, he was denied what we would call in the law due process, in that the Board of Regents essentially excluded from the record in his case all of the email documentation showing that he was discriminated against because he supported intelligent design. They basically refused to hear and refused to admit the key evidence that proves his case, showing that he was actually targeted as a result of his views on ID. And these emails did not go around complaining about his publication record. That's no surprise, given that he's published, 350% more articles than his department normally requires or normally would like to see for someone to gain tenure. So it's obvious what happened here. We even had the very chair of his department stating in his tenure file that his views on ID, quote, disqualifies him from serving as a science educator, unquote. So they made ID into a litmus test, even in his very tenure file. Unfortunately, I think that the Board of Regents really had their minds made up going into this decision last week, because they'd already excluded from the record all of the documents that proved Guillermo's case. And they also refused to give him oral arguments, so they refused to give him the opportunity to come before their board and actually, you know, present his case in person. So it's a very unfortunate situation what's happened there.
It looks to me like there was a lack of due process from the very beginning. They held secret tenure deliberations via email. Then there was a tenure process at which went through the normal process openly, at which he was denied tenure at every level right up to the president. And then when we helped to uncover the fact that these emails existed showing the secret process, then they refused to accept it into the record. They refused to hear him tell his own side of the story in oral arguments. Basically, it's like a cover-up. They had secret proceedings, and then nobody wanted to admit it all the way down the road, and so his academic freedom rights were completely trampled.
That's exactly right, and there's actually one other level of the cover-up that you didn't mention, Rob, and that is that when we actually filed the public documents request last May requesting these public documents, these emails that were the ISU faculty, were talking about trying to oust him because he supports ID— they actually, ISU actually threatened to file a lawsuit against us. And at one point, they actually gave us a 48-hour ultimatum saying, drop your public records request or we will sue you in court to have it stopped. Well, we were thankful. Thankfully, we were able to consult with an attorney who's an expert in Iowa law who said that your public records request is completely legal. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And they have no grounds for asking you to drop this request. So we stood our ground. We didn't black down. We called ISU's bluff. And guess what? They never filed the lawsuit. Eventually, about, you know, a good 5 or 6 weeks later, they sent us a nice box of documents with many mm-hmm. of these emails. Mm-hmm. And many of these emails were still blacked out and redacted. We don't know to this day what they said, but the bottom line is that they tried to, you know, file a lawsuit to prevent this information from getting out into the public.
What's amazing is what we do know was in those yes. emails, and there were things that were blacked out. So there's some things were still no one knows what was said there during these secret tenure deliberations by the staff and faculty at ISU. Now, this is just one of the stories that's told in Expelled, and there are a number of them, and there are a number of other stories that we've reported on over the years. And I know that academic freedom is an issue that is important to our listeners, which is why we are moving forward with the Academic Freedom Petition, which is available online at academicfreedompetition.com. Maybe you can also tell people a little bit, and we'll talk more about the petition in a second, about the sample legislation or the model academic freedom bill that is available there at academicfreedompetition.com.
Sure. Well, at academicfreedompetition.com, you can read a sample academic freedom bill, and it's a bill that has actually been submitted now in a few states around the country, and it basically protects the rights of teachers and students and faculty to challenge Darwinian evolution, and it basically protects their rights to have different scientific views on the issue of biological origins. It does not protect any rights to put religion in the science classroom. It has nothing to do with religion. What it does protect, though, is that if you are a scientific skeptic of evolution, or you hold to a particular scientific view regarding biological origins, you cannot be harassed or fired or transferred or kicked out or expelled, as we're saying now, because of your views on this issue. And it would be wonderful to see people going to this website, and maybe actually I should turn this around, Rob, and ask you, because you were one of the people who helped to produce and create this website. What is the website academicfreedompetition.com?
Well, the website is really a chance for people to take action. We often get questions from people about, what can I do? You know, I'm just one person. How can I support someone like Dr. Gonzalez? Or how can I support teachers and educators and scientists who come under attack for their views on evolution? And so we decided that with the Expelled film coming, and obviously a lot of people being interested in the issue, that we would give them a chance to take action. So you can go to the website, which is academicfreedompetition.com, and you can put your name there and stand up for science. There's a short statement that you'd basically be saying you agree with, and I'll just read that real quick so that people can know what it is. It says, "We, the undersigned American citizens, urge the adoption of policies by our nation's academic institutions to ensure teacher and student academic freedom to discuss the scientific strengths and weaknesses of Darwinian evolution. Teachers should be protected from being fired, harassed, intimidated, or discriminated against for objectively presenting the scientific strengths and weaknesses of Darwinian theory. Students should be protected from being harassed, intimidated, or discriminated against for expressing their views about the scientific strengths and weaknesses of Darwinian theory in an appropriate manner." It's a pretty straightforward statement that says you protect or support academic freedom for people who are expressing skepticism about Darwinian evolution. And it's kind of sad that we have to have a statement that we can get people to sign up for to protect basically a freedom of speech issue.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, we would like to be seeing this issue a open scientific discussion and dialogue and debate
yes.
over this issue. Why do you think that the other side is working so hard to prevent that debate from taking place?
Well, we've always supported what I like to refer to as a civil and open discourse on Darwinian evolution, on science, period, across the board. And we've always wanted to have a good, healthy, respectful debate, if you will, on the subject, on the merits, on the scientific issues involved. We do find people on the other side who don't want to do that. I'm not sure all of the reasons for that. Maybe they're afraid that their position is not strong enough to stand up to it. Maybe they're afraid that they will be seen giving support to us and lending credibility to an idea they don't agree with by debating or discussing or allowing discussion. Maybe they're just afraid that, you know, their jobs are based on kind of this viewpoint and this research. And if it's questioned, it somehow undermines them. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why they aren't happy with it. But really, they are shutting down debate in a lot of places. We saw last year at SMU in Texas, we wanted to have a debate there in conjunction with the Darwin versus Design Conference. They wouldn't allow for that. In fact, they tried to get the conference itself removed from the campus. We've seen other places where debates have been canceled or otherwise changed at the last second where debaters don't show up. Famously, in Kansas in 2005, the state school board wanted to have scientists present issues from both sides. They wanted scientists who support Darwinian evolution. They wanted scientists who are skeptical. The skeptical scientists showed up in what the New York Times referred to as a parade of PhD scientists doubting Darwin. The other side didn't show up. They just simply refused to come and present any evidence. And they have evidence that they could present. We'd be happy to discuss it. They just refused to do it. So the debate is being squelched. It is being put down in many academic settings. And so we're hopeful that if the public makes it known that they support this, it will help to lend support for the possibility of the Academic Freedom Act being put into place in various states around the country.
Well, that's really wonderful, Rob. So that website is www.academicfreedompetition.com. And anyone can go there and sign the petition. And I understand that their information is going to be kept confidential. This is not to be released publicly or anything like that. This is for the purposes of just getting public support for this issue. Is that right?
That's correct. The information is kept private and confidential. In the event that this is used to support various academic freedom bills that might come forward, we would simply tell people and make public known how many people in a specific state or region or locale were in support of that issue. And we're hopeful that legislators and other officials around the country will take a look at the Academic Freedom Bill, the model legislation that is there, and think about whether or not it's something that's appropriate for their school district or for their state or their region.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Casey. I know that this is an important issue for you as well. And if people have questions, they can send them to academicfreedom@discovery.org, and either you or myself or someone here will get back to them with information about the Academic Freedom Petition itself or about what other things they might be able to do to help out.
Yeah, that's right. So go to www.academicfreedompetition.com. Check it out. If you agree with the statement, sign the petition and show your support for academic freedom.
All right. For the CSC in Seattle, I'm Rob Crowther. And
this is Casey Luskin.
Thank you for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.